Chapter 16. Arthur awoke to the sound of argument and went to the bridge. Ford was waving his arms about. "You're crazy, Zaphod," he was saying. "Magrathea is a myth, a fairy story. It's what parents tell their kids about at night if they want them to grow up to become economists. It's..."
"And that's what we're currently in orbit about," insisted Zaphod.
"Look, I can't help what you may personally be in orbit around," said Ford, "but this ship..."
"Computer!" shouted Zaphod.
"Oh, no."
"Hi there, this is Eddie, your shipboard computer,
and I'm feeling just great, guys, and I know I'm just going to get a bundle of kicks out of any program you care to run through me."
Arthur looked inquiringly at Trillian. She motioned him to come on in, but keep quiet.
"Computer," said Zaphod, "tell us what our present trajectory is."
"A real pleasure, fella," it burbled.
"We are currently in orbit at an altitude of 300 miles around the legendary planet of Magrathea."
"Proving nothing," said Ford.
"I wouldn't trust that computer to speak my weight." "I can do that for you, sure," enthused the computer, punching out more ticker tape. "I can even work out your personality problems to 10 decimal places, if it will help."
Trillian interrupted. "Zaphod," she said, "any minute now we will be swinging round to the daylight side of this planet," adding, "whatever it turns out to be."
"Hey, what do you mean by that? The planet's where I predicted it would be, isn't it?"
"Yes, I know there's a planet there. I'm not arguing with anyone. It's just that I wouldn't know Magrathea from any other lump of cold rock. Dawn's coming up if you want it."
"Okay, okay," muttered Zaphod. "Let's at least give our eyes a good time. Computer!"
"Hi there, what can I..."
"Just shut up and give us a view of the planet again."
A dark, featureless mass once more filled the screens, the planet rolling away beneath them. They watched for a moment in silence, but Zaphod was fidgety with excitement.
"We're now traversing the night side," he said in a hushed voice. The planet rolled on.
"The surface of the planet is now 300 miles beneath us," he continued. He was trying to restore a sense of occasion to what he felt should have been a great moment. Magrathea. He was piqued by Ford's skeptical reaction. Magrathea. "In a few seconds," he continued, "we should see..."
There!
The moment carried itself. Even the most seasoned star tramp can't help but shiver at the spectacular drama of a sunrise seen from space. But a binary sunrise is one of the marvels of the galaxy. Out of the utter blackness stabbed a sudden point of blinding light. It crept up by slight degrees and spread sideways in a thin crescent blade, and within seconds, two suns were visible, furnaces of light searing the black edge of the horizon with white fire. Fierce shafts of colour streaked through the thin atmosphere beneath them. "The fires of dawn," breathed Zaphod. "The twin sons of Sulianis and Ram."
"Or whatever," said Ford quietly.
"Sulianis and Ram," insisted Zaphod. The suns blazed into the pitch of space, and a low, ghostly music floated through the bridge. Marvin was humming ironically because he hated humans so much.